Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. All right, ladies, welcome to Ask the Doc. We're going to talk all about anxiety and depression. And as you well know, what we're going through right now, this time of crisis, anxiety is extremely high, even with those who would consider themselves not anxious. I've just noticed it a little bit in myself, and especially with my husband and my family members, it's you can't avoid it right now. But I do have some crazy statistics. So they now have statistics where anxiety in teenagers, 1 in 4 have anxiety. Anxiety in adults right now, 1 in 5. These are US numbers by the ADAA.org. Then when it comes to depression, 1 in 10 adults suffer with depression, and it is the current leading cause of disability in the US. So ultimately, if you have anxiety or depression, you are not alone. I mean, we're going to get to alternative ways that you can help reduce anxiety and depression, but I'm also going to teach you 3 very common underlying causes of anxiety and depression. Now, I've worked a lot with anxiety and depression, and it's really hard to tackle the mindset shift change because a lot of depressed people, especially, want to own it. That is the way they've lived their life. And they don't feel like they want to change it. So this is truly going to be something that's different. So open up your mind. Think about what is actually causing your anxiety and depression, because there is a cause. It's not just COVID-19, but there are underlying causes. And I'm going to teach you what they are today and how to fix them if you feel like one of those is your story. Right now, what are we looking at? When it comes to anxiety and depression, you're looking at SSRIs, you're looking at benzodiazepines for helping to reduce anxiety. SSRIs, they are blaming depression on serotonin and dopamine. Serotonin and dopamine are those feel-good neurotransmitters. They help us feel motivated, help us feel alive, that kind of thing. And they're really blaming depression on low numbers of that. I want to change your mindset shift here a little bit, because what I've seen in the research is that there's no correlation between serotonin and dopamine with depression. But what I have found is that there are other causes. Yes, there is real reality. Reality of depression is real. Reality of anxiety is real. But there's a reason why. And if you guys are ready, let's dive into those reasons. I'm going to tell you what they are using 3 different stories, 3 different examples. The first example here, so don't worry about the bottom half of the markers, but the top half of the markers are vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Now, vitamin D, when it comes to anxiety and depression, is huge, huge, huge factor, especially if you are, it's what, March, we're just coming off of winter depression season, and now we have this madness to deal with. The first and most And the easiest step you can take to reduce anxiety and depression would be to have healthy vitamin D levels. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. This is a male. I would imagine he's 50 years old. I didn't pull his age right off the bat, but he was searching online for causes of anxiety and depression, and he came across this quiz. And this quiz literally told him that there were physical reasons why he was depressed. It wasn't just that there was something wrong with him. It wasn't that it's Christmas time and holidays can flare up things and feelings inside of people. So we took this quiz, and at the end, it literally told him to find his nearest functional medicine doctor and work with them. So he Googled functional medicine near me, and I popped up. So that's how we started working together. After listening to his story and what he'd had experienced, he was currently working with a counselor when I first started working with him. And I said, yeah, there's definitely physical causes to anxiety and depression. And one of those causes that we found in him was this vitamin D status. Now, he lived here in Utah. This was literally over Christmas break. So during that winter dry dead season where we don't have sunlight or vitamin D naturally. So when I first got off the phone with him, I recommended he increase his dosage, because most people will take like 3,000 to 5,000 IUs of vitamin D. That's not enough. It's good enough to keep you going. It's not good enough to tackle anxiety or depression. And really, your body needs so much more vitamin D than it gets anyways. So I recommended that he jack it up to 15,000 IUs per day. And then I got these lab test results back. Now, ultimately, this is a different type of lab test. This is one that I run, different than your typical MD, but your MD can run a vitamin D marker. You want that marker from your MD to be between 80 and 100. If you're listening, write that down. You want vitamin D, whether it's D2, D3, OH, doesn't matter. You want it to be between 80 and 100. That is prime optimal vitamin D status. That's where your body is literally using everything it can and every chemical reaction down the road. That's going to help you boost your energy. It's going to help you provide mental clarity, and it's going to help reduce those anxiety attacks, because now your body has what it needs to function. It's not limited to what it has. So that's the first step. So the first thing to do in combating anxiety and depression is to be sure that your vitamin D levels are prime. And if you're wanting the lab tests, get it above 80. Your normal range for vitamin D status will be between 30 and 100. That 30, guys, it's not good enough. That's why you still feel like crap, even though your labs are so-called normal. So in this case, most of my recommendations are going to start around the 25,000 IUs per day range. That's a lot, especially when you're taking it from 3,000 to 25,000. But do the 25,000 for a month, back off to 20,000, 15,000, and then stop at 10,000. So that's like a four-month regimen right there. And 10,000 will probably be more of your maintenance dose. Now, come winter time, fall time, you might want to jump that back up to 20 to 25. So you can manipulate those vitamin D numbers as you feel. That's number one. Easy peasy first step to take. Now, I'm going to jump over to, I don't want to get to your story, your graph yet, Kelly. I want you to tell you a little bit of background story first. So unmute yourself and let's talk about anxiety specifically. Kelly knows firsthand what it's like to have high anxiety and then to beat it. I'm going to show you how she beat it here after she tells you her story. Floor is yours, Kelly.
Okay. So about 9 years ago, before that, I was already experiencing a lot of anxiety. I was like in the midst of raising young kids and trying to run a household and really trying to be perfect. Yeah. And my anxiety was just out of control. Like I couldn't handle life, and I had like this great life. Like I had the life I wanted and it was amazing. It was hard, and I got to the point where I couldn't even function. I couldn't go to the grocery store by myself, because it caused too much anxiety and I would get panic attacks. And I am sure my kids could probably tell you that I wasn't the mom that I was supposed to be. I was really just so stressed and I could not control it. I didn't know what to do. I joined like some different groups, like anxiety support groups, started learning about anxiety. But then I went to like a nutrition class and met a chiropractor who was also a functional medicine doctor. And he started saying things that were just like clicking in my head, like, oh, there's like, this is not just me in my head. Like, I was getting ready to the point where I'm like, I think I need to check myself into a mental institute.
That's what I felt like this morning. I've been having a nervous breakdown.
Oh yeah. Well, this time of life is sure to do that to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I just, like, I kept trying. I kept just going, like, there's something else out there. There's something else I can do. I know. And I don't want to go get on drugs. I refuse to do that. I'm not against counseling, but I didn't feel like that would be really the thing that would help me.
Yeah.
So I just kind of held out for a while, and then I met this chiropractor. And so then my family all started this group to do a Ragnar race. So, you know, like the 12 people that run a 200 miles or whatever. And so I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. And I really need to be in better shape. And I'm sure I could use the exercise and whatever. So I started running, and I hated it, but like doing it. And it was like, I kept getting injured. Like I would, my hip would get injured, and then my ankle. And like, it just was like, the world is out to get me as far as running. And I just kept doing it. And I'm like, I'm going to do this and like push through and do what I feel like I'm supposed to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just kept getting injured. So I met this chiropractor who was also a functional medicine doctor, but he first talked to me about the physical aspect, the fact that like running is not for everybody. Running is not for most people.
Yeah.
And I found out that I had scoliosis, which I did not know before.
Mm.
And running was causing these injuries because my back wasn't aligned. So my spine was out of whack. So I was like, oh, wow, major revelation here. And then he kind of gave me like a mission as I started working with him to stop pushing myself, pushing myself expectations. Like, I should be running a marathon, or I should be a runner, or I should go to the gym, or it was all those shoulds. And I feel like that's really what caused a lot of my anxiety, is the shoulds. So working with him and then doing a lot of stuff on my own, like yoga is my thing and I love to meditate. And
you don't run anymore. You do yoga.
I don't run anymore. Not at all. I do like to walk and I like to hike and I like to do yoga. So those are my only forms of exercise. But I started to give myself permission first to not give in to the shoulds. And to just be like, okay, I get to do what's right for my body.
Yeah.
And like we will tell patients a lot of times, like, stop exercising while you're healing. And that's what he told me, like, do some meditative things, but stop exercising because it's just putting more stress on your body.
Mm-hmm.
It was just contributing to my anxiety. And so that was a huge relief. But then I started working with this doctor who was a functional medicine doctor. So we did chiropractic too, but then he started putting me on certain supplements and giving me certain ways that I should be eating, basically giving myself permission also to stop freaking out about what I eat and to add more fat to my diet and just in general be more healthy rather than be more trendy, I guess. I feel like I was just going with the trends a lot, and that wasn't what was right for me.
Ready to dive into that lab?
Yeah, let's do it. Then I'll keep talking along with it.
So Kelly and I joke around that I wish I would have known her during this time.
Because she's because so I was a different very different person.
Yeah. Let me show you what when she was working with that doc, what her lab was. So this is her adrenal panel. This is a saliva test that you get for your cortisol levels. And your cortisol levels are your stress hormone. Mm-hmm. As you can see here, the green is where you want to be. This lovely lady was managed to get herself off the chart. the first one in the morning, like the chart goes to 30. The Yours was at 86. And then the next one was above 110. Mm-hmm. And then come mid-afternoon, she's almost making back onto the chart at 33. Mm-hmm. Nighttime, she just barely fits underneath that chart at 29. So talk about anxiety. Talk about anything that happens to her, it's just going to send it through the roof because her cortisol levels are so, so high. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why sometimes exercise isn't good, because exercise is just another stressor that's going to send these cortisol levels through the roof. So one of the easiest ways that you can reduce these stressors, Kelly, take it from here.
Okay. What thing am I talking about?
How did you, from a lifestyle standpoint, lower the stressors, lower the cortisol levels?
Okay.
Besides the supplements, what did you do from a lifestyle standpoint?
It started first with that, giving myself permission, because he was telling me, don't exercise, try to relax, reduce your stress as much as possible. So I had to start with, like, this is for me. Like, I'm a mom and I want to be the best mom I can. And I'm not being right now because I'm not taking care of myself. So I did a lot of more meditative things like yoga and meditation. Mm-hmm. More sleep. Sleep was so important for me. I kind of put that on the back burner a lot of times, even when I didn't have to. So sleep was a huge deal. And then what I ate was a huge deal. And when I ate, and starting to learn how to control my blood sugar was a big deal.
Oh yeah.
I was hypoglycemic and in general didn't really eat enough food for the most part. And so I had to learn how to start eating the right way and not the trendy way of the world, like whatever the newest fad diet is, or sugar-free being like you just replace everything with processed alternative sugars. But it really kind of started like a fascination in me. And I took it a lot further than just what he was telling me to. I started doing a lot of my own research about food and just ways to manage my life. A lot of it had to do with emotional processing. So I had to allow difficult things from my past to come up and deal with them. Yoga helped a lot with that. And there's a lot of different modalities I've tried and just different things that that resonated with me that have helped me process through my emotional past, basically. That was a huge component.
And if I jump in, you brought up blood sugar. Blood sugar and cortisol levels go hand in hand. If your blood sugar is off, your cortisol is off. Your cortisol is off, your blood sugar is off. And blood sugar is the number one underlying cause of hormone issues. So if you're talking about PCOS, endometriosis, hot flashes during menopause, inability to sleep, the all of that underlying effect is that blood sugar issue. And we're not talking about prediabetes or diabetes. Mm-hmm. We're talking about what's your blood sugar doing throughout the day. Is it here versus here? Now, I'm going to give you three rules to balance your blood sugar. And you can argue with me or not. I am not one of those people who's a fan of intermittent fasting. I haven't dove into it much. So you can argue with me that intermittent fasting will balance your blood sugar. Go ahead, I'll listen to you, but I'm not going to recommend that for my patients. So what I do recommend is rule number one, you have to have a very hearty and healthy breakfast. Now I'm talking cereal doesn't cut it, toast doesn't cut it, pancakes, all those refined carbohydrates, that's going to jack your sugar off for the rest of the day. You need to have things like protein pancakes, if you want to take that route. The most common food that we have for breakfast in my house are eggs, sausage, bacon, and sometimes hash browns. But we always have a lot of those fats included in our breakfast. And one of my favorite places to eat is Great Harvest. And you know, they have those ginormous cinnamon rolls. Well, I don't go there simply because, yeah, I want a cinnamon roll. But I know that my blood sugar is going to be skewed for the rest of the day. It's not worth it. The other place is like Kneaders. You go to Kneaders and they have those literally thick French toast. all you can eat French toast. But I always have an omelet to go with it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have something like that in the morning for breakfast, combine it with something else. Now, the other problem with breakfast too, is I get a lot of people saying, well, I wake up and I'm just not hungry, or I don't like breakfast. The whole not hungry is going to be a blood sugar issue too. Because if you wake up, I wake up and I'm starving. Mm. If you wake up and you're not hungry, that's going to be a blood sugar issue from the day before.
Oh.
So that's one key factor on how you know whether your blood sugar is good or not. So rule number one is all about breakfast. Rule number two, never skip a meal. This gets really difficult when you're a mama and you've got kids all around. I mean, I'm due here in about a month and a half, and I've already been food prepping because I know it's a whole lot easier to grab something out of the freezer than it is for me to spend the 30 minutes of cooking when I've got a toddler and a newborn. So don't skip a meal, because your body is going to get used to having that blood sugar. There's going to know when food's coming. When it doesn't know when food is coming, you're basically telling it, you're giving it little starvation periods, and it's going to start to hang on to things, hang on to your food. When you're trying to lose weight, it's not going to happen because you've told your body for so long that it's going to starve at little increments of time throughout the day or throughout the month. That being said, the yo-yo dieting, you're doing the same thing. You're cutting back the calories. You're not giving your body what it needs. And so it's literally unconsciously telling itself, hey, I'm not sure when the next time food's coming, so I need to prepare for that and save and store.
And so, can I mention something really quick about intermittent fasting?
Yes.
We don't think it's bad for everybody, but the people that we talk to often are dealing with a lot of issues, health issues. And so people who are trying to heal something, I feel like it's not for those people. So if it's something you really want to look into later, wait till your body is healed. Mm-hmm. Your body needs like consistency while it's trying to heal, like actively heal.
Nice. So rule number two, never skip a meal. Rule number three is when you have a carbohydrate, say you grab a snack in a couple hours between lunch and dinner, you grab the apple from the fridge, throw on some peanut butter or some almond butter or some kind of fat protein that will balance out the carb. Instead of giving your blood sugar little spikes of sugar from the apple, if you throw on the peanut butter, now it's still going to stay here. It's really simple to just have a rule where if you're eating a carbohydrate, throw on the protein and fat with it. Like I said, the apple and the peanut butter are a very simple example. The other ways you can do it is I prefer protein bars over granola bars. Granola bars are just basically complete sugar. If you get a protein bar, then that's going to have that protein added to it, which will definitely help stabilize the blood sugar. So when it comes to lowering your stress levels, lowering anxiety, tackling hormone issues, weight gain, combine the cortisol. So do what you need to do, what's good for you to reduce stress levels. And then two, make sure that blood sugar is balanced. You can start with those three easy dietary rules. So there's Kelly's story. Kelly, you want anything to wrap it up with?
Yeah, I just want to say, as I went through this functional medicine program that I started with this doctor, I was noticing huge changes only a month or two into it. It was so dramatic. I was like, oh my goodness, this is my answer. Like, this started me truly on the path to like true health, not just trendy health or, you know, judging my health by my weight or whatever. But it was noticeable right away. And I went through a full year program with him. I was also working with my spine and aligning that as well. So I think that was part of it for me. But a year later, I was absolutely a completely different person. Like Kylie said, she wishes she knew me before then. But if you talk to my family or whatever, they will know, they will be able to tell you that I am a very different person. And it just kind of started me on a path of loving to learn everything I could to make my body healthier and my mind, and deal with even the hard stuff as it comes up so that I can be better capable of handling stuff as we go. So it changed my life. And that's why
9 years later, you're still the new you.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine if I was the way I was 9 years ago and dealing with the stuff that's going on now, I'd be a mess. So.
Okay. So our third and final story. So we've talked about vitamin D being the number one underlying cause. Get those markers up. The number two would be your adrenals and cortisol. And with that, the blood sugar. And then number three here is, I'm going to tell you, she's probably mid-30s, was told that her anxiety and depression that just all of a sudden popped on a couple months ago was because her marriage was in shambles, and she wasn't, I mean, in her words, she was Christian and she wasn't doing enough reading her scriptures and reading the Bible and those type of things. But she was really wondering if there was something more to it. So what I did was I requested her medical records, which I usually do, and I found this. Now remember, her anxiety and depression was an onset pretty recently, 3 months ago-ish. She had just come home from Mexico with her family during Christmas time. And then these are her labs. Now, what I did was I took her medical records, I plugged them into this document, which we use all the time, that breaks down your labs in a very unique way. So much so that if you're being told that you're normal and yet you feel like crap, this usually tells you that you're not crazy and that there really is something going on underlying it all. So when it comes to this range here, this functional medicine range, these ranges are tighter. They're narrower, I should say, than your normal ranges are going to be like this. So know that what I told her and what you would get from me with a lab recommendation overview or an interpretation of it is not something that you want to go tell your MD. Like if she were to walk over and say, this lady told me that I have a viral infection or a bacterial infection based off of this number, you would get laughed at.
Yeah.
Because to them, the 9.3 is still within that normal range. But I don't want to compare you to other sick people in your area, which is what the normal ranges are doing. I want you to feel optimal, to feel prime. So with this, these markers that you see right here, WBC all the way down to the basophils, this is a typical lab test that your doctor will take as like the first step in any type of treatment or diagnosis. It's called a CBC with differential. Now, when I get cool, pretty CBCs like this, it's kind of like Christmas morning to me because I nerd out on this stuff. But to me, it's like I'm helping you get answers that you've been searching for many years in many cases. But for her, like I said, it was a 3 month stint of all of a sudden, she has no energy. She has no motivation. Anything would set her into a panic attack. And it was like a switch had turned on. It was pretty immediate for her. So I saw this 9.3 is outside of that 5 to 8 range for your white blood cell count. That would say she has an active infection. If it's above 8, it's active. If it's below 5, it's chronic. So if you're thinking, well, all of a sudden, 3 months ago, I went through a car accident, and now my life's never been the same. Or the best one is, I was completely fine until I had my third child, and now I've never been the same since. So these things, these events in our life can trigger stuff like this. So like I said, she had just gotten back from Mexico when she had these labs done, which made complete sense to me, that it's really easy to pick up something in a different country. So hers was an active infection, which would correlate with the whole 3 month time period. Let's bypass this for now. Go down here to the neutrophils. Neutrophils, you want to have between 40 and 60%. Hers is at 72.2. Neutrophils fight bacteria. So now we know she has a bacterial infection because those are so high, they're actively fighting bacteria. Whereas lymphocytes, they fight viruses. And her lymphocytes are low, so there's no activity going on with the viral. So that we can rule out there's no virus, but there is a bacterial infection. What that is, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if it's a UTI or if an antibiotic would affect it. But what I can tell you is that there's something low grade inside her body that's causing it to be overworked, overstressed. So either one, it's going to shut down and result in depression, or two, it's going to be so uptight that anything, any small trigger will send her into a panic attack. Well, that's the third underlying cause that I see most commonly with anxiety and depression. Usually it's more chronic. This, because you've been dealing with it for so many years, there's usually something chronic, and it's usually viral. Like if you've ever had Epstein-Barr virus before, you may not have an active flare of it, but that virus is still tormenting down inside. And that can cause major chronic fatigue. This is the third common reason. Like I said, this is a regular blood work that you can get. You're going to dive deeper than the full normal range to get your answers. But there, this is a common problem. When it comes to treating this, like I said, I can't tell you what the bacterial infection is, but when it comes to the viral, our antiviral is this guy, VIVI, Vivi. Patients love it, especially if you're dealing with chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr virus in the past. Right now we're dealing with COVID-19. So if you wanted to have an antiviral on your shelf as a toolkit, this would be it. Yeah, that would be where I would start with an antiviral. Antibacterial is another story. When our antibacterial is this guy, Bactrex. This one is really important for people who are dealing with constipation or diarrhea. If their gut isn't regulated, you're not having a bowel movement every day, which is the normal. That can be a SIBO problem, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO, but that's another thing to get into later. So now we currently know the three underlying causes of anxiety and fatigue are one, low vitamin D, even though it might still be within that normal range. You got to get it to 80 to 100. Number two, stressed out adrenals with cortisol high and blood sugar off. And number three, these low-grade infections that often go undiagnosed or unnoticed. So there's your three causes. Now, that's a huge paradigm shift. It's a big the change in thinking. And I had one lady tell me the other day that she's like, now, you know, I have all these symptoms, and I think from what I'm understanding of what I'm learning from you is that they're all connected. And she's dead right. Our bodies are miraculous, amazing machines that are designed to heal. But everything is, all of our systems, they all work together. Our cells work together. I mean, we're just one amazing body that it's designed to work together. So you might have hormone issues and thyroid problems or anxiety and depression or chronic fatigue, like you name it, fibromyalgia, whatever word has been put to it. If you treat your body as a whole, then it can get into that happy, healing environment, no matter what your background is. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I was curious, so what protein bar do you recommend? Because so many are just loaded with just garbage and sugars. And
well, they also taste like crap, too.
I know. Well.
So what I did when I started med school was my roommate and I, we actually just went to the grocery store and grabbed one protein bar from like every name brand, every flavor. And we just tried it to see which one we liked. I think they're the Luna bars, and I think they're gluten-free.
Luna bars.
Yeah, those are the ones that we stuck with, but we literally tried them all because.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat it. I don't care how healthy it is. If it doesn't taste good, I'm not eating it. So that was our go-to snack. We also did, we would make ourselves like yogurt parfaits. I hardly do any dairy now, but back 8 years ago, we would make our little yogurt parfaits and have fruit and homemade granola and things like that. That was another go-to. Her and I, we would pack our lunch totes around with us all over campus, and that's what we ate all day. That's a lot of money because my classmates were dropping dimes everywhere.
Yeah, the whole cortisol thing, because I could tell I've got my cortisol under control, but ever since with this COVID-19, I can literally feel the cortisol in my body. So I could feel it like spiking high, and then because my heart will start racing. And then, yeah, so like even my mind, like I was just crying before like to call just because I just am overwhelmed with all this that's happening.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my dad totally passed out yesterday. He was out running, and he has these reactions, and we don't know if he ate something or had a reaction, but my mom just looks over and he's passed out on the floor.
Oh my God.
So it's affecting us in many different ways. Tommy, you have a question?
So I have found that most of my anxiety comes from scary thoughts, of course. Most of mine is from past issues. Sorry, I get emotional.
Let it out, girl. Let it out. Huh, Kelly? Let it out.
So, my things that have happened in the past make me fearful of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that causes all of this to go out of whack?
Yes. Yeah, let me give you an example here. And I'm going to try not to get emotional too, but we just started working with this lady from the Midwest, and there's another one in Southern Utah here, but all stories with chronic fatigue and any health issues there's always some events or some emotional links to it. For example, when I work with patients like yourself and many other people who are just trying to do the best they can in their current scenario, every single one of them has trauma in the form of abuse in their past. Now, oftentimes, they'll never, ever, ever use the word abuse. For example, one mom, she told me that when she was 4 years old, her mom was mad at her dad. And her dad was a train conductor. So one of the ways that she was going to get back at her dad was she put all four of the kids inside the car, went and parked it on the train track, and allowed the train to hit them.
Oh my God.
Because she wanted dad to feel bad that he killed his family.
Oh my God.
Now, she never, ever, ever used the word abuse, but that is abuse.
Yeah. Wow.
She was 4 years old and she remembers walking away with just like a few pieces of glass in her fingers.
Oh my gosh.
Her brother had since committed suicide by overdosing on alcohol. Her dad had passed away and she had become estranged from her mom. She hadn't talked to her mom for over 10 years. So that is a real underlying factor of health issues. Mm-hmm. That's one of the great reasons why Kelly talked about how she had to find ways to release these emotions. When we treat patients, we know that you have stories like that. And the one we combine the physical healing with the emotional healing. And Kelly does all of our emotion release stuff via emotion code. So Tammy, I don't know if you've ever heard of emotion code. Have you heard of it?
No.
So there's a website called, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, discoverhealing.com. And that will teach you about how to help those emotions get out of your body so you can heal. And it is a major factor, especially when you start talking about, I feel like crap, and yet all these doctors keep telling me that my labs are normal.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I just had blood work done, and she said my vitamin D is fine. I was a little low on my vitamin B12, but it's like you said, I'm probably within what they say is the normal range of vitamin D, but I probably need more.
Yeah, and now that you know, you can go back and look at your own lab test too, and you can start saying, okay, my vitamin D is at 42. I know that that's in the normal range, but it's not good enough for me.
Right.
I need to get it up to 80. And if you wanted to simply start with the 25,000 IUs, that would be a fantastic place to start.
Okay.
And then look up the discoverhealing.com. And that is the way that you can help your body emotionally release all this underlying garbage. And then don't forget to give yourself a pat on the back as you do this, because you're still here, you're still pressing forward, and you're still navigating this thing that we call life during a very, very difficult time right now. And so don't, like, be proud of yourself for the progress that you've made too. I don't know where your past lies, but you're not alone in the fact that there are many people who are suffering physically because of all this emotional garbage too.
Thank you.
I'll be your cheerleader, Tammy.
Thank you.
The first one is, you said carbohydrate and add protein fat. Does that count if I have peanut butter ice cream? I'm just curious.
Lori, I love you.
That's a good one.
It's a legitimate question. I'm just wondering.
I'm sure there's protein in it. I mean, they had to put peanut butter in it. Sorry, guys.
If
you're going to have ice cream, make sure it's got some protein. That'll help.
Right. Well, that's my thought. It's a little more healthier than just the chocolate fudge.
Say, don't do like low fat stuff. Like, keep it the high fat. If you're going to have it, then make it the best you can. High fat.
I like that idea.
Much better.
My honest question, though, was about the no skipping meals. Does that mean you have to eat at the same time every day, or just that you get three meals in?
No, because I know you're one of those that hates breakfast.
I absolutely do.
I would just keep it consistent. And I wish I could tell you that having like a work schedule makes my life easier. But I get working and I'm like, oh crap, it's 2 o'clock and I haven't eaten lunch yet. And it's almost one and I haven't eaten lunch yet. But just don't go those like 6, 7, 8 hour periods between meals. That's where things get issues, where you get issues because of that drop in your blood sugar. And when you feel the drop, you're physically going to feel lightheaded. Yeah. And if you get like go from a sitting to a standing position and you're like grabbing something because you're just whoa for a second, that would be the low blood sugar. So it's not like you have to say, oh, I have to eat at 8, noon, and 5. Just don't go that 7, 8 hour period without eating food during the day.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if you're going to throw up when you eat breakfast at 8 o'clock, don't eat it. Wait till it's 10 o'clock and you feel like you can keep it down.
Good to know.
I'm realist here. You know me. I find that this is very helpful here as we get finished. If you have any other questions, don't feel free to unmute yourself and feel free to ask the question. But if you were to get lab tests done, I often get this question, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Start with vitamin D, of course. And then when it comes to getting lab tests done, here's what you want done. And you can go ask your doctor to do this. The first test is the CBC with differential. Be sure that it's with the differential, because otherwise it breaks my heart when those puzzle pieces are missing. Mm. It literally tears me to shreds because I'm like, I need to know if there's parasites or something underlying in there, and you have to have the with differential to do that. Now, going through school, I could have cared less about the differential part. To me, it meant nothing. But now that I know how to scrutinize lab tests that I do, it means everything. So the first thing is the CBC with differential. Then get a metabolic panel. And you can get all this done at once. Most of the time, your insurance will cover it. Sometimes they're like, well, that's way too many lab tests. You don't need all that crap. But if you're wanting to really get down to what's happening inside you and why you feel like crap and yet you keep being told that you're normal, these are the lab tests you need. The metabolic panel is number two. Number three, if you have any sort of thyroid inklings that a thyroid could be going on, you have to have a full thyroid panel. The TSH does not cut it. In fact, we're going to get to more of the thyroid next week, same time, same place, all about how most of us think that our thyroid's the problem when it's really your thyroid is being pulled under the water to try to get sunk. But that's another story. Come join me next week. Mm-hmm. The full thyroid panel includes the TSH, free T4, free T3, and two types of antibodies, TPO antibodies and TG antibodies. That's everything you need to know about your thyroid. So the CBC with differential, the metabolic panel, the full thyroid panel. I love to add on a lipid panel, a vitamin D, and blood sugar status. So things like the blood glucose, the A1C, and even your insulin. Like just the other week, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, I was doing my regular routine work for pregnancy, did that midway point thing. And luckily my midwife asked me if I wanted to do the glucose shot or if I just wanted to take my blood pressure. I don't want to do that glucose shot. I know my body, if I have problems, my blood sugar goes low. And sure enough, we got my blood sugar stats back. She just took a random fasting. I wasn't even fasting. She took a random blood glucose, like a finger prick, and it was at 68, which to me is really low. I want myself and I, as well as others, to be within that 85 to 100 range. You don't want to be below 85 and you don't want to be above 100. That would be your blood sugar. So for me at that time, I was definitely needing some food in my system.
And that was your fasting, you said?
That one, you're usually going to be fasting.
Okay.
If you're taking, like if you go to the doctors, they want you to take all that blood work fasting.
Okay.
Which is why most people like to do it first thing in the morning before they eat breakfast. I tried to make it fasting that day, but my child did not cooperate and I ended up throwing up before I went into my appointment. So I was like, some food. So that would be the lab tests. I'm going to say those one more time. CBC with differential, metabolic panel, thyroid panel, a lipid panel, which is your cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, HDL, that's what that is, blood sugar, and vitamin D. That would be your ideal blood work to get done. Does that help? Give me a thumbs up.
Yeah, so Kelly, I read your bio. You do the emotion code, right? Right. Can you go? I did go and briefly a couple weeks ago looked it up, but maybe could you go more in depth since that's what your profession?
Sure. Emotion code can be done by anybody on themselves, their family members or whatever, but I certified in it so that I could do it, you know, for our patients.
Right.
It basically is a way to help your body remove the energy of emotions when they get trapped. We don't always have the capability or the time or whatever to process emotions as they come up. And so when that happens, we all know that it doesn't just go away. Like when you're sad or something, it's not, if you step it back down, it just stays in your body. So it gets trapped. And what I do with emotion code, and this is the discoverhealing.com that Dr. Kylie was talking about. It is just a really succinct way of letting or bringing up emotions that are trapped in the body that the subconscious is ready to let go of. So I use muscle testing to basically ask your subconscious what we can release. I have like a little list of emotions and it will just bring up whatever it wants to release. So we name the emotion. Sometimes it wants to know a little bit of details about it, like when it happened, if you were a child or something like that. And then we basically just take a magnet and run it down your governing meridian. So either your forehead down to your neck, or if I'm in person, down your spine. And that basically just resets your body's energy, basically. Mm-hmm. So you may have heard that emotions are energy in motion. So emotions are energy, and we're just moving the energy through the body, allowing the body to have a chance to let go of that.
The cool thing that we've seen is that sometimes, you know, sometimes it's very basic. Sometimes it's like, oh, I was an 8-year-old and I felt anger, mm-hmm. per se. Or it can get really in depth to the point where it brings up via muscle testing some things that you didn't even know really existed, but you're like, yeah, I can totally tell that my senior year I experienced all this stuff and I never put a word to it. Or like Tammy was saying, how she's got a lot of things from her past, as many do, that mm-hmm. helps to not only combine the physical healing with the emotional healing. And it's just really cool. Like I would have never imagined I would be treating the emotional component like we do. But when you combine the physical and the emotional, the healing power is just pretty incredible. So one, it takes the unique way of reading the labs, because you know you're all sick of being told that you're normal,
right?
You feel like crap. You had to read labs in a different way, and then when you combine the physical aspect with that emotional aspect and let all the garbage from the past just let go, so you can live that future you want to live. That's where the cool healing takes place.
No, so how would that work virtually? Because since I'm in Washington State, are you in Utah as well?
Kelly? Yeah, we can do it remotely because energy exists simultaneously. Time and space does not affect energy. Mm. So we can do the same work over the phone, or even if not even talking to you, you can still do it if you have permission to connect to your energy.
So. Did you decipher that, Kylie, what she said? It like went
in and out.
Yeah.
So she's saying how the emotion, like energy, is all around us. It's, you know, it can go from you to her.
Right.
We actually only do virtual stuff now. So it doesn't really matter whether you're my next door neighbor or you live halfway across the world. But that's where the muscle testing gets into place. And she uses her fingers like this to do it.
Okay.
And it's just combined. I mean, it's not like if I were to muscle test you, I need you to be present so I can just lock down or isolate one muscle at a time. But she uses her, which is why she does all the muscle testing, because she's very good at it virtually. I'm not. So she uses the muscle testing to determine whether or what emotion is underlying in you.
Yeah.
So do you have the card nearby?
Yeah.
It's basically just this little card that has two columns. And then there's just a list of emotions, everything from anger to hurt to sadness. Yeah, there's the card there.
Oh, okay.
And she uses muscle tests to just say, hey, is it in column A, column B? Is it in row 5, row 8? Mm-hmm. And you just narrow it down like that. Does your body need to know more about it? Yes or no? Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. And then can we release it? If it says release, yes, then you just run the energy magnet down the spine. Depending on what it is, it can bring up previous emotions. I never want to say it's like a counseling session, even though sometimes it turns into one. It just presents your body another aspect of healing. Whereas when all the physical modalities haven't. And one of the biggest places I use it in is any sensitivities. So like right now we have one patient who is sensitive to basically, I swear, everything underneath the sun, and you never know what or how her body is going to react. Mm. And so when your body, even though I've gone through all the lab tests and I know you need this from a physical standpoint, and yet when your body rejects it, literally goes into some crazy reaction, that's when I say, okay, we got to back off the physical. We got to treat what's underlying first, so her body can now absorb and get what she needs in from. I mean, I've given people things one drop of one thing at a time because sensitivities are so crazy.
Yeah.
But when we work through those underlying emotions, and she's one of those that has a crazy, crazy history starting when she remembers at 3 years old. So who knows how long it's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can get the underlying emotions released, then you can physically accept the physical medicine that you need. And I've had to learn that the hard way a couple of times. So I back off. We've backed off. All we're doing right now with her is getting her vitamin D status up. And I think I'm about to flush out her GI system with some heavy dosage of probiotics. And then meanwhile, she meets up with Kelly at least once a week to get the garbage gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's mid-50s. Depression is one of the issues. But if you were to look at her diagnosis list, it's quite long. So does that kind of help? I mean, it really is a very interesting emotion thing, especially like in the culture we're in Utah, it's not well known. Functional medicine isn't well known either. It's all kind of, I always joke that Utah's a decade behind because everybody is past this stage.
Right.
But like if you go to Oregon and everybody in Oregon goes to see their naturopath or their chiropractor first before they go see their MD. So it's just a difference there. But
yeah, no, it's slow here too in Washington. Well, where I'm at in Washington.
I know when I was up in Oregon, I was Washington's there. The licensing laws are very different. And so it makes it difficult to do some of the things in Washington.
Yeah.
But all right, I'm going to go grab some lunch. We should all go get some lunch so we're not skipping so many meals.
And I just want to mention, like, Tracy, when you were talking earlier, look up some breathing techniques that could help.
Yeah, like I watched your video. Was it 4-7?
Good. Yeah. That's perfect. That's a really great one. I just posted another one yesterday on our page that is really cool. Just breathe. When you have that anxiety flaring up and you can feel that cortisol rising,
yeah,
it's cool that you can, because not everybody can. Not most people can.
Yeah, super.
I can definitely feel it, but yeah. So just see if you can get yourself into a quiet space, even just for a couple of minutes, and it will make a lot of difference.
Yeah, no, it's true. I gotta say a funny story, because it makes me think, Kylie, when you're saying the Christian gal, who like how religion can like people like condemn you or put things. When I would tell people about, I didn't know what it was until I had a cortisol test. I feel this weird surge in the morning and then my heart will palpitate. And then someone told me, oh, it's a demon spirit. I was like, oh great, you're telling me I have a demon spirit on me. I was like, no, it's cortisol. Now that I know, I was like, oh, no, it ain't that, it's cortisol.
Yeah, it's definitely physiological.
Yeah, like it is not a demon. Like you're about to say that's weird. Luckily, I didn't. I was like, no. Okay. But anyways, I had to throw that in there. But no, it's definitely cortisol because I got past it. But now since everything in my mind, I always like, and plus my husband's a first responder. He's stressed out. He's having, they're taking drastic measures and he's always on the phone when he is home, conference calls with all the chiefs. And he's like, it's so bad. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then he's the news 24/7 too. And anyhow, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to feel the cortisol start in my body, like spiking. I was like, oh gosh. Anyhow, but, so you said that other breathing you posted in, where's that one at, the technique?
Yesterday I posted on either our Facebook group or our regular Facebook page. It's an animation.
Okay.
Of just lines, and it has you follow the lines as they draw into different, like it expands and you're breathing in and then it contracts and you breathe.
Okay.
Out. You're literally just following this simple line animation. It's really cool.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite 3 of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.